Rebecca Scott and Newsline PM. Call us direct or collect 386-1161 or on your cell at star 1070. It's Rebecca Scott and Newsline PM on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. It is March the 9th. I'm Rebecca Scott. This is Newsline PM. Thanks for joining us. Coming up over the next hour, we're going to be talking to Ben Kirsten from Wonder Dogs. Ben is back with lots of helpful hints. How to get your pooch to stop piddling on the carpet or behave well with other dogs or simply come when it's called. And we'll be taking your calls. Reach us here at 386-1161. You can ask your call to Ben Kirsten if you have a bit of a doggy problem. We're going to solve it for you today, and we're giving away prizes as well for your participation in the show. That's coming up over the next 45 minutes. After that, we have a jam-packed show. Everything's going to be moving really fast. Lots of news coming out today, and we're going to be talking about that.
Super 8 Hotel. Now you're cooking.
Now, back to Rebecca Scott and Newsline PM on CFAX 1070.
Tired of your dog ripping up the carpet or barking at the mailman? Well, Ben Kirsten from Victoria-based Wonder Dogs is back to address your doggy dilemmas. Give us a call at 386-1161 or star 1070 on your cell for your participation over the next hour. So Ben is giving away an amazing prize. Tell everyone what you're giving away, Ben.
We're going to give away what we call the Quick Start Program, and that's basically four lessons that cover prevention of problem behavior, safety, positive training methods, and all the basics. You know, all the sit, the stay, the down, come command. So in four lessons, we actually cover a lot of ground in four lessons. So, that's going to be our top prize.
I was reading your website earlier today and reading the testimonials on it. And I mean, there are testimonials on there that speak about your turning their dog's behavior around over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to do today.
Great. I mean, some people live in Souk or they live in Qualicum and they just, you know, they can't come to Victoria or whatever, or they can come, but it would cost a fortune to stay in a hotel and this, that, and the other. So we've been doing that for many years, just guiding people over the phone. It could take half an hour, could take an hour, depending on the problem, and giving them some information that they can take to the bank where they can see some concrete results. And, some problems are easy to resolve. If you came to me and said, my dog is attacking other dogs, I want to resolve that over the phone, I'd say, not going to happen. You know, it takes a lot more. I can give you tips where you could prevent the problem from occurring, but some problems are real easy to resolve over the phone. You'll hopefully see some examples this afternoon.
Okay, and you brought Joey along again. I love Joey. This is one of my favorite dogs that I think I've ever met. He's just lying there, so sweet.
Everybody loves Joey.
Everybody loves, you can't not love Joey, and Joey is his own little testimonial, living testimonial to what you can do, because he's the best behaved dog I've ever seen in my life. And my family's had labs that are very well trained and well behaved, but nothing like this, that's for sure. Alright, give us a call if you have a question, 386-1161 or star 1070 on Telus or Rogers Wireless. You will be entered to win those four free lessons at Wonder Dogs. If you got a new little puppy and you're thinking about doggy training, is that a good opportunity for that?
For puppy owners especially, I mean, a dog of any age, but yeah, with puppy owners, like I said, we're covering safety, house safety, car safety, basic retrieving, all the positive stuff you need to get them started. So especially for puppy owners, yeah, it's definitely up the right track.
All right, Gary's on the line in Victoria. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm phoning as a testimonial for Ben. 10 years ago, I got a Jack Russell, and I did the church basement training type thing to no avail. And the guy just said, no, you're never going to train this dog. Well, someone told me give Ben a call, and literally within hours, that dog was healing. It was sitting. It was staying just by hand commands. I got another Jack Russell after that. And I had that little guy trained in a matter of days. It's absolutely amazing what he does.
All right, so what did you do there, Ben?
Well, first of all, Gary, thank you. And did I pay you to call this afternoon? Gary, what's your last name?
It's Plevin. This is about 10 years ago. This is when you were doing it at the back parking lot of Camosun.
Oh, okay, that's going back a few years. And what's your dog's name?
Molly was the one I brought in.
Okay. Yeah, this is back in the day when we used to have these massive groups of 50 dogs broken down into puppies and different age categories. Without my staff, who have been excellent over the years, I don't know, I think I would have cashed it in long ago. But we had some amazing results even with those huge groups, and I'm delighted to hear that you were able to, so many people say, oh, Jack Russell, you can't train Jack Russells, you can't train terriers. And, you know, we sometimes limit our expectations of our dogs by, we have these, we read something negative and we believe it, and therefore some people never get past that and they can't really do anything with their dog because of something negative they've heard. But Jack Russells, as we both know, are incredible dogs to work with, just as all the terriers are. And it's amazing what you can do with some consistency and positive thinking.
What are the usual problems with Jack Russells or with terriers in general?
Well, terriers, as many of us know, are feisty. They were bred many years ago. The word terrier in Gaelic means go to earth. They were bred to be in a tunnel with a badger, nose to nose. So, you know, a lot of these dogs are very feisty, and if they're not trained properly, they can get really scrappy with other dogs. You know, we are neurotic about safety, and in all my years, I'll never forget this one incident. Gary, I'm not sure if I ever told you about this, but in a group session many years ago, about 15 years ago, I remember looking down the line of dogs and seeing this little female Jack Russell hanging off the neck of this big, huge Malamute beside her, and I ran down there in about 10 seconds and fortunately pried them apart fairly quickly.
Mm.
But
I'm surprised it wasn't the other way around.
Yeah. In any case, Jack Russells are fantastic dogs to train and own if you start with them early, if you're consistent.
And keep up with it. That's the whole thing. The tin can with the pennies, that thing's worth its weight in gold.
Okay, tell us about that. Let's hear some practical examples of how you can train a terrier that's quote-unquote feisty.
Well, for starters, we need, when we say consistency, see, a lot of training sessions are, like he said, they're in a church hall, they're bumper to bumper. It's pretty chaotic because they're so crammed in. And so one of the main things that we do that's different is we never work in a very small, tight area. We're always working in a huge area that's minimum 500 feet. So when we start, the space between the dogs is extremely important, okay? We bring those dogs closer together as time permits, depending on how they're doing. And some dogs, you know, maybe session two, this dog's having a heck of a time. Now we're going to have this dog back 40 feet, maybe for 5 or 10 minutes. So bringing the dogs in close, moving them back, depending on where they're at in their training, is very important. That's one thing he touched on, was the space.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the consistency. A lot of groups meet once a week. We meet 3 times a week. So, yeah, we are the whip-cracking slave drivers of Victoria dog training. But meeting 3 times a week is where you see the results because of the consistency.
I'm wondering how people who have terriers can apply some of the techniques that you use at home. If I was having a problem with a terrier, what would you tell me?
Okay, first thing I would tell you is what everything you read in books or on the internet would tell you not to do. You often read about never play tug of war with your dog, especially if you have a terrier, and because you'll turn them into a natural born killer. So I'm going to tell you the exact opposite. I'm going to tell you why you need to play tug of war with your dog, whether you have a terrier or any other breed, and why it's so important that you bring out the passion in the training. I can't even remember if we touched on this last session, but if you have a hungry dog, 24 hours hungry, that's crazy about their ball or toy, if you have the food bowl down full of food, this dog hasn't eaten for a full day, and you put that toy down beside the food bowl, 9 dogs out of 10 will always go for that toy over the food. That lets us know something very quickly, that the motivation for this toy is way more powerful than the motivation for the food. So we can use that with terriers and with all dogs.
Okay, we're going to find out more when we come back. But first, here's a check of traffic and weather. And that's with Corey Polkinghorne.
Chum Radio Station.
We're talking to Ben Kirsten of Wonder Dogs. Exercise is extremely key to getting a dog to behave.
Absolutely. Not just exercise. You see, you can walk your dog around and around the block for 2 hours straight. They're not using the running, jumping, turning muscles. They're not getting complete exercise. So a lot of people walk their dog on leash for an hour, they come back inside and the dog's ricocheting off the walls, and they're like, hey, what the heck, you know, I thought we just went for a walk, dude.
Yeah.
So it's so important that people learn about what I call extreme exercise. Extreme exercise is any form of exercise where the dog is using the entire muscle group. They're using the running muscles, the turning muscles, the jumping muscles. And an example would be two dogs playing together in the park for 20 minutes, a dog running after a ball or Kong toy or Frisbee, even, you know, going for a jog with the owner. So these are all, you know, just ideas to give the dog creative exercise. Let's face it, a lot of people work 8 hours a day. They have kids, they have hobbies, they have stuff that they need to do. So a lot of people, even with the best intentions, they don't have 2 hours a day to exercise their dog. And by the way, 2 hours is what puppies need. You know, if you have a young puppy, unless it's a St. Bernard or Great Dane, you know, Joe average dog needs, on average, 2 hours. Mm. So how the heck are you going to spend 2 hours a day when you don't even have time to, you know, spend time with your kids? So that's what we do with dog owners. We show them how to set up toys that are indestructible, free of charge, or dirt cheap. I mean, toys that will last the dog's lifetime.
What's an example of that?
An example is a tetherball. You go down to the to Sports Traders, get a tetherball, hang it off a rope from a tree in the backyard, and, you know, tease the dog with it. You know, spend 10 minutes a day. It could be a week, could be 3 weeks, depending on the dog. Just get them stoked on it. And some dogs, for their entire lifetime, on days where it's pounding rain or the owner's sick or the owner's busy with a work project or the kids, say, you know, they don't have the time. They just open the door. The dog goes firing out in the backyard and goes nuts on this tetherball until, you know, they're ready to drop. In fact, on a hot day, I tell owners to be real careful that the dog doesn't overdo it. You know, make sure they have plenty of water. So that's just one example. There's many examples I can give you of toys that can be set up. You know how you go to the pet shop, you spend 10 or 15 bucks, buy a squeaky toy, in 10 minutes it's destroyed. Mm-hmm. So the toys we show you are toys, again, that they'll last forever, and they're either free or really cheap.
Okay, let's give people some specific examples about what they can do in their homes with their dogs that have, you know, little behavioral problems, and most dogs do have something or other. I'll give you an example. My parents bought a little Westie Terrier during the summer. I guess she's now approaching a year old and still jumps up on people's legs. Can you stop that behavior? She's been told, my mother's been told, you can't stop a terrier from jumping up on your legs.
Okay, so once again, negative perceptions or things that we read and therefore believe. So important to take a lot of this stuff that we read about why the dog can't learn it and just throw it out the window, okay? So it's so important that we believe that our dogs have the mental RAM or capacity to learn, and, you know, their capacity for learning is amazing if we only give them half a chance. So in terms of jumping up, digging, barking, chewing, problems like that, the best thing that owners can do is get their dogs two things, and two things only, okay? If I say get the dog obedience trained, that doesn't mean going once a week in a church hall going round and round. I'm talking about the obedience training that you may see on my website. You see me working with Jesse, this pit bull cross. In this obedience training, we call it the Taibo of dog training for a reason. Physically, it's very intense. Obviously, not everybody can go at the speed you see me going at. So, you know, everybody has to go at their own speed. But it involves the dog physically and mentally. I mean, it really, at the end of a session, they're just pooped. Mm. So if the owner is doing that obedience training over here on one side, on the other side, they're getting the dog a minimum of 2 hours per day, what we call extreme exercise. When those two things are happening, by the way, 2 hours is just a start. As the weeks and months go by, that can come down, hour and a half, with some dogs an hour, but we start with 2 hours just to give it a real jump start. So if those two things, and only those two things are happening, I encourage any listeners to try this experiment. I call it the five-day experiment, and the experiment's real simple. For 5 days straight, make sure that your dog gets 2 hours exercise per day, not all at once, because you might kill your dog if they're out of shape. So just 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, just add it up. So at the end of the day, you got 2 hours. You might have to hire a dog walker. You might have to call in favors from friends or family. But treat it like a clinical experiment. Mark it down on paper. And, you know, on the prescription, it says complete the whole prescription. Don't stop when it's partway through. This is the same thing. After day two, if the digging and jumping and chewing is gone, keep going right till the 5 days are over. And if after 5 days, the dog is totally a different dog. You bring it in the house, and all it wants to do is sleep when it's on the carpet in the living room instead of ricocheting off the walls. You've just answered your own your own problem. That this is, you know, the resolution of problem behavior happens when we channel the dog's energy in a positive way. That's exactly what's happening here. That way you don't have to start shouting no at the dog 24/7, right?
All right, let's get more specific when we come back from the news, and we will be taking your calls 386-1161 or star 1070 on Telus or Rogers Wireless. It's time for the 3:30 news. More with Ben Kirsten when we come back.
37.
Call us direct or collect 386-1161 or on your cell at star 1070. It's Rebecca Scott and Newsline PM on CFAX 1070.
We're talking about how to solve those little doggy glitches that everyone gets. All dog owners find their dogs have some sort of problems. Nobody can be as perfect as sweet little Joey, who's in the studio today. And with Joey, Joey's been very kind to bring along Ben Kirsten from Wonder Dogs. And we were talking just before the break about my mom's dog, a new puppy, who jumps up on your legs, no matter what. And she gets lots of exercise. My mom is a marathon runner. Gets lots of exercise. That's not a problem. Is quite obedient. So if you're at that point where the dog's had the exercise and is fairly in every other respect an obedient dog, what can you do practically at home to take care of a problem like that?
Okay, before we get into, you know, concrete things that owners can do to resolve jumping, I just want to come back to the obedience training just for a moment. It sounds like she's getting tons of exercise. Your mom's a marathon runner. That's all good. Mm-hmm. But with the obedience training, if that is not there, let me give you this example. Imagine a person that's unemployed. They don't have a purpose in life. They don't have a job to do. They just don't feel the same satisfaction as a person who, you know, has a job that they enjoy and they're channeling their energy. So dogs, in my mind, are the same. They need a regiment. They need to, you know, with obedience training, you're showing them how to earn your praise every single time. You give a sit command, a come command, a down command, and every time they get it right, good puppy, you know, big praise or food treat or toy or what have you. So the obedience training changes the dynamics of the whole relationship. When your mom's dog jumps on a guest and your mom says no, if she's done all this obedience training, the dog doesn't just look at her like, yeah, whatever. But because the dynamics of the relationship have shifted so profoundly, maybe this time when your mom says no, her dog goes, okay, I can do that. So let's assume that your mom's done the obedience training. She
yes.
has not. But let's just say hypothetically she has, so we can go the next step.
So we'll move from Tully the dog to any general dog that has this problem has had obedience training and gets sufficient exercise.
Right. Now, one more thing I'll say about that if a dog is being corrected with any negative stuff, they haven't had the proper exercise, they haven't had the obedience training, I don't feel it's fair to correct a dog with your voice or with a can filled with pennies. It's almost like you're expecting them to behave when you haven't given them the chance to behave by ensuring that these two basic needs are met. So everybody listening out there, all you dog owners, I would underline that part, that if you're going to correct a dog with any negative stuff for problem behavior, first be absolutely sure that you've exhausted all methods or things at your disposal to ensure that the obedience training and the extreme exercise have been dealt with. Now let's go beyond that. The dog hypothetically is getting both those things and the jumping is continuing. You mentioned that your mom thinks the jumping's cute. That's a problem.
She's so happy to see you.
Is your mom listening to this show? You tell her I want to talk to her.
I don't think she's listening, okay. But if she is, this one's for you, Mom.
Yeah, you see what I'm getting at, though.
Yeah.
First of all, you need consistency.
It's not cute.
Yeah.
It's not cute when the dog is muddy and you're wearing something nice. I mean, it's not cute.
So the neat thing is that dog owners can actually have their cake and eat it, too. They can teach the dog that it is okay to jump when I give the invite, but it's not okay just to jump on your own. So first thing you need is everybody in the household to be on the same page. If everybody in the household is being consistent, every time the dog jumps uninvited, something negative happens. Just a sound correction. Imagine if every time the dog jumps, there's these super soakers, you know, just a little hand pistol, especially a dog that's sensitive to water. They're just a plant mister. So for this, you need what I call a setup. It's not, you're not carrying around a mister. You know, you're not like John Wayne with a plant mister on your holster.
Right.
So you need to be prepared. So a setup means that you know, everybody's on the same page. You all meet in the kitchen, and you actually entice the dog to jump up by going, hey, what's up here? You're standing there eating a piece of chicken or well, you've got a favorite toy. She jumps up. Mister comes up, and then, you know, 10 seconds later, not an hour later or 10 minutes later, but right...
Do it again.
Do it again and keep doing it. Then another family member, then and keep doing it until she gets it right. Most dogs will get it within 3 minutes or less.
We're going to take a break and check traffic and weather. When we come back, let's talk about more of those sort of negative things that you can do.
Okay.
But first, here's Corey Polkinghorne.
Beat.com. Now, back to Rebecca Scott and Newsline PM on CFAX 1070.
We've got a few more minutes with Ben Kirsten, dog trainer from Wonder Dogs, and we've been talking about how to solve your little niggly dog problems. One of mine is dog jumping up on the legs, and you were just saying you could squirt it with a water bottle. What are some other options like that if the water bottle, if the squirt gun didn't work?
Well, you always want backup for... by the way, we should... okay, so the squirt gun. Now, for a dog that is really sensitive to noise, it's not the water that bothers them necessarily. It's the sound. It's the sound.
Right.
So
a big noise to scare them a little
bit. So we talked about being consistent with all family members being on the same page. If that's not happening.